Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you for this privilege today of preaching and teaching your word, and we praise you for it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. And we're just so appreciative to you. And we look to the greater one that dwells within us for the revelation from heaven. We open our hearts and open our minds to receive words from the most high place that exists, the throne of grace. And we praise you for it. Just get thrilled thinking about it. We praise you and thank you. To God be the glory and to the matchless, magnificent name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Gloria?
Yes, sir.
Here we are in the month of May. In fact, today is the 19th day of May, because they're going to be seeing this later. In the state of Texas, and it's about 60 degrees outside. Whoa! It could be 100 plus down here, you know. We've seen it in May.
Which would I choose? I'm not sure.
Well, you can have that 100 degrees. Praise God. Save this up, because August is coming, you know.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And today, yesterday and today, in fact, all this week, we are honoring and the Oyedepo family, David and Faith, Bishop and Faith Oyedepo, in Canaan land, Nigeria, praise God, which did not exist not all that long ago.
That's right.
It became a city. The Lord led Bishop Oyedepo, they just kept outgrowing churches, and finally they're looking for a bigger place. And they went out in the bush. I'm telling you, in the jungle. Nothing out there but, you know, bad animals. And so they started out on 500 acres. And now, over 10,000 acres later. Amen.
That's a victory
example. All preaching the word of faith. Yeah. Amen. And just a couple of Sundays ago, I preached the first two services, which started at 6:30 in the morning, and the place is packed out. See, when it's totally, completely packed, it's 54,000 people. And in the first two services, it was totally packed, and the overflow had 37,000 in there.
And it was a thrill.
Whew. It's a thrill, isn't it, for sure?
So many people in every direction.
Amen. And now it's become a city, and so the word works.
That's right.
Anywhere it's put to work. Amen.
And you look at this, that's a cash deal.
Oh, yeah. But the first time we were there in 2008, he said, Brother Copeland, now this first phase was $250 million. We, no debt, no American money. We believe God. And they never, ever, he never, ever makes any kind of an appeal or pressure to give. He just teaches the laws of prosperity. Yeah, praise God.
And the people put it to work.
And they put it to work. And that's what's happened. It's created what some call the new Nigerian middle class. These people are prospering.
Amen.
They're doing wonderfully well. Well, he said the next phase is $250 million. And he said, we've already got that in the bank. Well, now that is 2008. And there's been many more things happen since then, because in 2008, they only had 2,000 acres. Now they got 10. He's got 16,000 people on staff.
In the jungle.
In the jungle.
It's awesome.
Oh, to God be the glory. And we just wanted to let everybody know how appreciative we are.
It's inspiring.
Of David and Faith Oyedepo,
yes,
and that
amen.
Whole marvelous family. Praise God. Father, we give you praise.
Thank
for
you,
it.
Lord.
Let's go to the Word of God again today And the on We Want to Bless the United States. She's 240 years old yesterday.
Praise God.
Isn't that wonderful?
It
glory
is.
To God. Got a lot of problems, but all of these problems, all of this terrible stuff you're seeing, I want you to know it's birth pangs to the rebirth of this nation.
Praise God.
I mean it. It's birth pangs to the rebirth of this nation. You heard me say it well.
I agree.
Because I heard the Lord say it and I believe it.
I believe it.
Romans 14:23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, if it's not of faith, then the Amplified says if it does not originate from faith, it is sin. In fact, if it does not originate and proceed from faith, I'm talking about in your heart. If your thinking is not in line with the Word, if it does not originate and proceed, you know, the Amplified uses that word, proceed. That's one of the primary words in that, to translate that word in the Greek language.
If it doesn't come out of faith.
If it doesn't proceed, if it doesn't come out of there, it doesn't originate in faith, then where did it originate? Fear. It had to. Well, I just don't see how come it'd be a sin for me to doubt. Well, then you can see it right there. Just change your mind. The Scripture just said that, whether you can see it or not. Change your mind right now, because whatever the Word says is right. So now, whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Now, let me help you with what you just said. I don't see how. Now, we know, just pick anything that you know, just everybody knows is a sin. Let's take stealing. We know that's a sin. Why is it a sin? Well, God said not do it. Well, basically that's true, but why did he say not do it? Because when you do it, you connect yourself to the devil, because he came only to steal, to kill,
that's right,
and destroy. Mm-hmm. So if you're connected to him, God does not want you and me or anybody else connected to that thief and killer. Most particularly, his own household of faith.
That's right. You can't connect to the devil without connecting to the curse. Now that's one good reason not to connect to the devil, because you got to connect to the curse if you're not connected to God.
That's right.
I mean, the Scripture says these are the curses that come on you if you don't do what God says.
Well, and just think now what you just said. Put yourself in God's place. He laid all sins on Jesus. Jesus went to hell with it and suffered there. Now think about what I'm talking about, looking at this thing from God's standpoint. Mm-hmm. God laid it upon him and Jesus received it. And he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, redeeming us from the curse. Mm-hmm. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for us, redeeming us from the curse of the law, which Gloria just mentioned. Now God did all this so that you never have to be connected to Satan ever again.
Amen.
But then fear connects you to the devil. No wonder.
Yeah.
See, it falls in that same category.
Because that's unbelief.
Sin connects you to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is so bad about doubting? It is unbelief, and the scripture says unbelief is wicked. The 10 spies brought back an unbelieving report. Yeah. They did not believe what God said. And it's called an evil report. And then in talking about the evil heart in the book of Hebrews, particularly in the 3rd and 4th chapters, and then as you go 5, 6, 7, and 8, it becomes increasingly apparent why he's talking about this, because he entered into a blood covenant in the blood of Jesus, praise God. And perfected love casteth out fear.
That's right.
So for us to choose to worry and choose to doubt rather than do something about it, it falls in the same category, because it just simply connects you to the devil.
It opens you up to the curse of the law.
It opens you up to that curse.
You don't believe God's word, and you don't have faith in what he says.
You know, Gloria, now this is another thing. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and because we're going to need this information, because we're going to find out how to get this worry sin absolutely, completely,
yes,
totally defeated in
to
our
do
lives.
With it.
I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go over to the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter. Now, you remember, in the 8th chapter of Luke, let's begin reading with the 41st verse. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay a dying. As he went, the people thronged him. Now they're moving toward Jairus' house. Jairus made one statement of faith, and throughout this whole thing, he never opened his mouth again, which is just huge.
Yes, that's right.
Now, and I want us, we're going to center on that. And then a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, touched the border of his garment. Now, when I want you to get a hold of this now. When she touched the border of that garment, they're talking about his prayer shawl that was visible. He's a rabbi. It was visible outside the garment he was wearing. Mm-hmm. And she knew that, and that represents, that's where the priest's anointing is, and represents what it represented. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, the border of his garment, immediately her issue of blood dried up. Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, mm-hmm. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou would touch me? Jesus said, somebody touch me, for I perceive that virtue or dunamis, miracle, power, anointing, is gone out of me. When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Now notice what he said here. Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole.
Praise God.
Go in peace. While he yet spake. Now there's two things I want you to get hold of. Put yourself in Jairus's position. His little daughter lay at home dying. If you read all the accounts of this, he fell down at Jesus' feet. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, it said he besought him. But we know from the other gospel accounts of this same thing that he said, my little daughter is dying.
Lieth at the point of death.
Come lay your hands on her and she will live.
That's right.
That's faith statement. You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Now, he's got this on his mind. And Jesus just immediately followed him home. While he's one, people everywhere, they are jammed in there so close. I want you to get the sense of this. I mean, they're jammed in there, so people are reaching over, trying to get a hold of him some way, but they're still moving. Even this throng, they're still moving towards Jairus' house. Suddenly, this woman puts a faith demand. She believed it in her heart and said it with mouth. And she touched that garment, and she didn't intend for anybody to know about this. What she had in her mind was to crawl out there and touch that garment and sneak back out without anybody seeing her, because it was against Levitical law for her to be out there in the first place with that issue of blood. And she said in fear and trembling when Jesus asked her, she said it in fear and trembling. She didn't intend to be noticed.
That's right.
So she's moving out there. She touched the hem of the garment. The anointing flowed out of Jesus into her. She's healed. But Jesus stops and has her testify. Now, we don't know how long she took, but here's the leader of the synagogue. Jesus is following this man home, and don't you know he knows her? Of course he knows her. He knows who she is. I mean, she'd been this way for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, years. She'd been in this condition. She had been at one time a woman of means, and now she's completely devastated financially with this plague disease, mm-hmm. which is a reoccurring thing for 12 years. What do you think's going through his mind? Did we have to stop? Don't he remember I said she's laying home dying? And but he didn't say anything. How long do you think she's going to talk? I'm telling you, that woman, I mean, you know, she's, I don't know. I mean, that woman talk all day long. And she started in. And she told him how many physicians she'd been to. And she told him how long she'd been this way. That's the reason we know it in the scripture, because she told
it. That's right.
She stood there and gave her whole testimony about all this. Do you imagine Satan was not taking this opportunity to pick at Jairus and get him to break this connection that he's got with Jesus? Of course he is. Why don't this woman come? Why didn't he tell her to be quiet or hurry up or something?
But that woman had his attention.
Oh, she did. She made a faith demand.
Yes, she did. He knew.
Now, notice, Jesus said, "Daughter." Well, now that's bound to have rung a bell with Jairus. He knows that's not Jesus' daughter. What's he talking about? She is a child of the seed of Abraham.
That's right.
Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole.
Amen.
Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Jairus, hearing these things, her testimony is encouraging his faith, and the words of Jesus are strengthening his faith.
Yeah, that's right. And I made a note in my Bible. It was immediate. Everything was fixed like that.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Oh, yeah, including the... That's good, Gloria. Including the financial part.
Everything.
Oh, yeah, because, see, he said she's made whole.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're not whole unless she's had her finances replaced. Now, here we are at the moment of truth. While Jesus yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." Now remember, they're just jammed in here, and Jesus heard what that person said to him. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not."
That's right.
A better translation is, stop the fear. fear not, believe only, and Amen. She shall be made whole. Now this is vital information. Jesus is dealing with death. And the first thing he dealt with was fear. Can you see it?
And you could say that if he had fear, it was not going to happen.
It was not going to happen. Because fear, that's listen, right. Where does fear come from?
Death. Opposite of faith.
Fear comes from death. It's the fear of death. You're not afraid of flying, you're afraid of dying. Mm-hmm. But we've been delivered from the
Thank
fear
you,
of
Lord.
Death. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 states directly that Jesus rendered Satan, who had the power of death, rendered him totally helpless and delivered all of us who through fear of death were subject to bondage. Now, in these last few seconds, I want to point this out. It's obvious, Gloria, that Jairus did what he said because the girl was raised up.
That's right.
Now, how can you stop fear in a moment like that? This is important. Like I used to tell the kids, you got your antenna up, amen, get your catchers out. The power to stop the fear was in the words of Jesus. You remember when Peter said, if it be you, Lord, bid me come. And he stepped out of the boat. Jesus said, come. And he stepped out on the word come. He never did touch that water until he started sinking. He was the power of God in the word come was what was carrying him across that water. It's the power of God in the word come that destroyed fear in Jairus. And he just kept his mouth shut, stayed on his faith, and went home with Jesus.
Praise God.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
If you got your heart full of the word of God, Jesus will answer the words of fear.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.